Welcome to the Source of Commercial Real Estate podcast, where we talk to the experts in all asset classes of commercial real estate. Listen so you can grow your wealth, expand your portfolio, improve your mindset, and live an amazing life. And now, your host, Jonathan Hayek.
Welcome to the Source of Commercial Real Estate, where we talk to the experts in commercial real estate so you can grow your business, find a competitive advantage, and use real estate to live the life that you want. I am your host, Jonathan Hayek, and today I am talking with Dr. Alex Tam with Zephyr Equity and the Streamline team. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Doing great, Jonathan. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sincerely appreciate you joining me. Really looking forward to this conversation. Alex, why don't we start out with you telling us about your background and what your work in real estate looks like today?
Yeah, so I started off really as a chiropractor back in 2009. And in 2018, I became a limited partner with different syndications. And in 2021, we became really active because a lot of the friends from, you know, on the doctor side were asking me, hey, how are you? What's happening on the real estate side? So I decided to educate myself, join a mastermind also on top of the educational program. And we've been working on active deals on the asset management side, helping out with capital raising as well since 2021.
Good. And what do you spend your time doing mostly today? Are you mostly looking for your own deals? Are you raising capital for other people? Mm-hmm. What do you spend your time doing?
Mainly capital raising, I will say, because I'm not in a location where we have our own deals over here. So I'm in Northern California, Northern Nevada. So we do partner up with other people in other parts of the state so that they're the ones doing the broker relations, meeting up with the brokers and talking to sellers. So,
okay. So capital raising. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested in this topic. I'd love to get some of your expertise. So will you talk to me about what your capital raising strategy is? What sorts of limited partners are you targeting and what sorts of deals are you investing in?
Ultimately, we don't work with that many operators because, you know, we feel like it's a responsibility, big responsibility. So I mainly work with a few operators that I've gotten to know in our mastermind group and the educational platforms that we know really, really well. And in terms of capital raising, the strategy is really to leverage the doctors and the groups that I'm part of. And most of the consulting groups I'm part of, they own their own practices. So the doctors usually have expendable income, trying to figure out where they should put their money. And this is being in real estate for the years I have been, I'm able to tell them like, hey, this is the benefits of being in real estate. And then we just can go from there. And that's pretty much my strategy.
So talk to me about the limited partners that you are targeting. They're doctors. Does this create a problem in terms of your reach? Is it too narrow to only focus on healthcare professionals? Some people would say, hey, cast as wide of a net as possible, but you're going super niche and just targeting healthcare professionals. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I feel like it's not so much it's not going to be too niche because there's a lot of doctors out there and there's a lot of practice owners, medical doctors, chiropractors, dentists. Those are the ones that we are targeting. I think it is better as a capital raiser to niche down a little bit so that you can speak the lingo, right? Because certain people are going to feel more connected to other people. And as a doctor myself, they will feel a little bit more connected to me. I understand what they're going through. I can speak the same lingo. So no, not too niche at all. It works actually really well in my favor.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, especially you being a doctor yourself. I imagine you can relate very easily to the limited partners that you're targeting. You had mentioned earlier that you'd built relationships through your mastermind that you're a part of and other groups. Mm-hmm. Will you talk a little bit about what mastermind you're in and then the other groups that you're using to build these connections?
Yeah. When I first got into the educational platform, it was first Jake and Gino, and then eventually got onto MIH as well. This is the MIH mastermind. So, you know, it's groups that are in the mastermind. They're very active. They're very active in the operation side. They're active on the capital raising side. And we've gotten together multiple times and got to meet these people, right? And got to know them. And that's where we have found our best partners.
And with your masterminds, have those exclusively been to find operators, or are you finding limited partners there as well?
There are some limited partners, because most of the people in the mastermind, not only are they operators, they also are investors as well. So they like to invest on the limited partner side. I myself invest in the limited partner side on top of the JVs and GPs. So it's everyone.
And are you finding the other healthcare professionals through the mastermind, or are there other like doctor networking groups that you're a part of as well?
Oh, the doctors are mainly the other doctor networking groups. And although in the mastermind, there are some doctors in there that we find partnerships in, but most of the limited partners are done through the doctor groups that I'm a part of.
Okay. And how would someone, let's say someone wants to target accountants or professional athletes or, you know, other attorneys, other high net worth individuals, maybe not professional athletes, that's probably not realistic, but, you know, other high income earners who are in a similar position as healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
How would we target these people? Are these LinkedIn groups? Are they Facebook groups? Are they professional organizations?
I mean, for me, the groups that I'm a part of are groups that I was already in even before, right? So if you are an accountant, it's much easier to target other accountants because you're already in the group. Now, I would say don't cut out the professional athletes, because we have a friend in Detroit. And he's an attorney. Now, I met him through the mastermind, and he has some limited partners that are on some of the professional teams in Detroit as well. So it's don't count those guys out. Some of them don't even know what to do.
And it's all about your network, right? It's like, you may not know those professional athletes, but you know an attorney who knows these professional athletes. And yeah, I imagine that could be a good opportunity for both parties involved.
Absolutely.
So specific to medical professionals, because those mm-hmm. are the limited partners that you work with, what do you find, particularly now, what are some of their biggest hesitations or pushbacks or their resistance to investing in real estate as a limited partner?
I think the biggest thing right now is some of their, because a lot of them have their own business. And when interest rates go up, certain clienteles of theirs are being laid off. So they don't have as much free flowing money, right? But if they have good cash flow in their business, they have no problem investing at all.
Do you have to do much education with them, or is it really built on trust and the previous relationship that you've built with them?
Previous relationships and trust does matter. And the less previous relationships and trust that you've built previously, the more education you have to do, right? And some doctors want to know everything about a deal. Because they're business owners as well, right? So they are more inclined to ask about numbers. What do the projections look like? They're in business for themselves also. Some of the doctors who are not in business for themselves, they may not know what questions to even ask, right? But this is where we come in and go over the numbers with them.
Alex, you had mentioned earlier that you have found a lot of the operators that you work with through the masterminds. What is setting apart some of those operators right now? What are the great operators doing right now that stands out and is helping those deals be successful?
The great operators that are standing out right now are the ones who are not afraid to get their hands dirty and who are actually operating. What I have found out over the years, there's operators all are different. They're all made differently. Some operators, all they do is focus on acquisitions. They are not true operators. They may not have the team to back them up, right? And there are some who are truly operators. They're not just trying to go after the acquisition fee. They actually want the property to function well and to actually know how to execute the business plan. And the ones who are willing to jump in if property management is not doing right, jump in if asset management is not doing right, go to the properties, right? And be able to be hands-on and not afraid of work and be able to make a decision. See, some operators right now are sitting on the sidelines. Should I refi? Should I not? Should I do this? Should I not? And then eventually the bank comes in and says, hey, there's now you got to make a decision. And sometimes it's too late. The worst thing for an operator is not being able to make a decision. The ones who can make a decision become great leaders and great operators.
Dr. Alex, I want to transition our conversation. You're extremely busy. You're still a doctor. You're running multiple businesses. And I know you've got some help through virtual assistants. So this is a topic I'm especially considering this year as my business grows. So will you talk to me about how you use VAs in your businesses?
Oh, VAs have been life-changing. Ever since 2016, I've been working with virtual assistants. Before virtual assistants were in or before they were even hot. And what happened was I became a little bit more overwhelmed in our medical business where people were telling me that, hey, you need to go online and go on Facebook and make YouTube videos. So I was learning how to edit videos. I was learning how to use Photoshop. We didn't even have Canva back then, Jonathan. We were using Photoshop straight up. But over time, we hire one, two, and as we have the real estate business and the virtual assistant business, we now have 12 that work under myself, full-time virtual assistants. And they help me with everything from scheduling appointments to buying food, lunch, booking haircuts, you know, to booking trips, making sure they check me in, you know, at the airlines. It's unbelievable. On top of all the social media, the paid ads, right? We have leadership roles within our virtual assistant groups. So that's allowed me to become a better leader myself.
I sort of fantasize about VAs being a part of my business and doing some of the things that you mentioned, checking me in for flights and going through my email and doing all those sorts of things. I personally cannot find how to get myself off the ground and taking the plunge with it. I know it would be helpful. I know there would probably be some learning pains along the way.
Yeah.
So for someone like me, considering the possibility of employing a VA, where should someone like me start out in the process?
Well, the first thing you want to start out with is figuring out where you need the help. Figuring out where you need the help, the process to that is list out the things that you do every single week, and then list out the things that you can delegate every single week. From the tasks that you need done and your goals, you will then have to find a VA that has the skill set that fits what you're looking for, right? Once you find that VA with the skill set, now you have to put in the time, and I mean time, to train this VA to do it the way you want it to be done. Most people hire a VA and they think that, oh, you know what? I hire a VA. They should know exactly what to do. No, it's like an employee. They're a staff member. They don't come knowing what to do, right? How do you work with people is how you will work with a VA. I consider my VAs just sitting in the room behind me. I just can't see them. But I press a button and they pick up on business hours. I can talk to them, right? So is someone ready to train someone? That's the key. VA or no VA? Have you hired someone? Have you trained someone? So that's the real key thing.
Yeah, I think there's a temptation of people thinking that because it's virtual or because this person's might be on the other side of the world, that they're just a commodity and they should come, you know, already, you know, sort of programmed, so to speak, knowing right. what to do, whether it's social media posts or going through emails yeah. or reaching out to people for new connections. Is there anything that makes sense to start with? Like, okay, most VAs, you know, that it's a low barrier to entry for X task, or is it really just dependent on the person doing the hiring?
It's dependent on what you, because there are VAs that are very admin specific. There are ones that are very highly skilled in social media, video editing. There are ones highly skilled in bookkeeping. There are ones highly skilled in lead generation, right? You have to think about what's going to move your needle the quickest. And what's the KPI? Is yours branding and reach, right? Is yours lead generation? Where do you need the most help in? So I look at every single task and I think about, okay, which VA can handle this, right? It's no longer me how to do it. It's finding the who that can help me do it.
Alex, do you have any suggestions on where people find VAs? I feel like I hear about a new website almost every day.
There's so many out there.
More people trying to place VAs. So where does somebody find a VA now?
I mean, that's one of the reasons why we started a virtual assistant agency. The reason why we started one was because we started meeting real estate professionals and other doctors, and they realize I have multiple VAs. And they're wondering why I'm always on social media. I said, I'm not. I said, I have a team of VAs putting my stuff out there, right? And eventually they said, Alex, can you just help me hire one? And I think by like the fourth or fifth one, my partner and I said, why don't we start an agency, you know, to help people find VAs? And that's what we do. Now, if you go look for one on your own, yeah, you're going to end up with all kinds of websites, people hitting you up, spams, and you never know, right? We have a very specific vetting process. Now, if you're used to hiring people, you can develop your own hiring process as well. But here's the key. You got to get a resume, right? To pay them, you got to know what their address, get an ID and everything, you know, and just to make sure that you know how to vet them. Right. If you need an admin, how are you going to vet them? Do you have a way to test them? If you need a social media video editor, do you have any idea how to test them? Find a way to vet them. That's the key thing.
And do you assist people in vetting the VAs, or are you more of a matchmaker? What does your process look like?
Our process is, say you as a client tells us exactly what your needs are, right? You know, that's the key thing. You got to come in with telling us what your needs are, what kind of skill set this VA needs to have. Now we start looking for VAs. We will probably do about 20 to 30 interviews for every one person we will show you and introduce to you. Now you get to introduce to this VA. If you say yes, know that we've already done our part ahead of time to vet them through. If it's social media, we put them through a 2-day process where we give them tasks to do to make sure that they can actually handle it, right? And now you know the VA already comes knowing the skill. They just have to learn your style now. See, so we've already done that part for you. So by the time you get them, whatever skill sets that you need, maybe you need a person to call someone on the phone and call clients or cold call people. We have people that do that on our team. So we would have vetted this VA already for you. And that's really our whole process, is finding, vetting, introducing them to you, and knowing that they do great work already.
Alex, I'm sure you've seen a lot of VA relationships go well and others go not so well. Yeah. Can you tell me some of the reasons that some of these VA relationships fail? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that people need to avoid to make sure that they have a successful VA relationship?
Okay, let's just say the VA comes good already, right? And you hired a VA. One of the main reasons that we see the relationships fail is the expectations aren't there. The client, yourself, expects the VA, like we mentioned earlier, to know everything already, right off the bat. Another reason is the client themselves don't spend the amount of time to actually train the VA. They don't have time, right? So when they don't have time, they think that, oh, the VA just don't know how to do anything, or they're always doing it the way that I don't want them to do it. And my question is, did you actually show the VA exactly how you want things to be done? Well, I told them, but did you show them? See, most people are not used to training others. They don't know how to teach others a certain skill, right? And if you want to be a leader, you want to be a business owner, you got to be able to transfer skills. So those are the top two things. Yes, can a VA have underperformed as well? Possibly. Possibly there wasn't a good match where the client initially wanted one VA to do certain things, let's say social media. And then all of a sudden they want this VA to do cold calling. Well, the VA is not a good cold caller, right? So they're going to think that the VA is inadequate. Whereas, well, initially, you just hired a VA to do something else. So those are some of the top three reasons why we see relationships fail.
Yeah, that last one makes a lot of sense. Just, you know, the idea of, you know, me as a person, I'm not good at everything. I might be, you know, good at underwriting, but I'm not good at cold calling. Or, you know, I'm good at reaching out to brokers, but I'm not good at managing properties.
Right.
So it's unrealistic for us to expect a VA to just be instantly good at anything we ask them to do.
But yet we do.
Alex, as we get towards the tail end of our conversation, I have a few more questions. They're designed to be quick questions, but if you have a good story or an extended answer, feel free to take your time. Alex, if you could 10X a certain part of your business, what would it be and why?
The business that brings me the most joy is not only the real estate side. You know, I mean, every single one brings us joy, but I do want to 10X our business in the medical side, because that allows us to reach out to more patients, allows us to get more involved in real estate. But as we become more successful as a doctor, other doctors will also see us as a leader in our field. And that leadership definitely will transform into the real estate side as well.
Great answer. What's the best deal that you've done?
The best deal that we've done is if you talk about financially, then one of the best deals that we've done is in the Midwest. And this was in the more historical part of town. We have great partners, great management, and the cash flow on that one is just amazing. You know, little hiccups at the beginning. But it all comes down to operation and property management. See, property management, I think, sometimes get overlooked. People think it's boring, but it's not boring. It's like the cream of the crop, right? The acquisitions where people get excited. Oh, the acquisition, you got it. No. You bought it. Now you got to operate.
Alex, what's the worst deal you've done?
The worst deal that we've done was a deal that we had a partner. This was really early on when I didn't even know how to vet partnerships. And we had someone that was told to us it was trustworthy. And there were others in the mastermind that thought this person was trustworthy. And this person ended up using funds from the real estate deal to purchase other things and some of them we suspect he used to fund his personal lifestyle as well. And good thing we made it out with a little scrape, a couple scrapes here and there, right? But it heals, and we've learned to vet people a lot better now.
What's your top tip for finding deals right now?
I'll say the top tip for finding deals, operators, if you're an operator, your top tip that I have right now is you build those broker relationships and build those relationships with property management. Because a lot of times property management will know when a deal is not working well, right? They see it. They're the first ones. They're like the grassroots, right? They're boots on the ground working the property. So build relationships with property management, build really good relationships with brokers. For those who are capital raisers, who are not operators, start mingling with other operators. Find out, right? Talk to other investors. This is the time. This is like a make or break time for operators. The ones who know it well and do it well, they're going to make it. The ones who don't, who waited for prices to just go up and they're stuck on crazy bridge loans, they're going to get exposed.
What's your top tip for raising capital?
I'll say my top tip for raising capital is raise and talk to the person that you were 3 to 5 years ago. That's the best person to talk to, is look at your circle of people or online and speak to someone that was you a couple years ago. So you can't speak to everyone. When you speak to everybody, you speak to nobody, right? So that's going to be my top tip for them.
And finally, is there a book, podcast, or YouTube channel or other resource that you would recommend to others?
You know, I think the mindset is so huge as we live day to day. And I've been recently watching Ed Milet's podcast more and more and more. And he has a lot of great people on there that talk about the mindset. You know, what we get between our ears and inside of our brain is so huge, right? No matter what field you're in, your mindset is key.
Great advice. I wholeheartedly agree with you there on the mindset. Dr. Alex, this has been a great conversation. Sincerely appreciate your time. If listeners want to reach out to you, learn more about you, where would you like to send people?
Reach out to me on LinkedIn. You know, they can shoot me a text if they like. It's 775-717-0090. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram. We monitor those on a regular basis. And chances are, if you hit me up, I'll message you back within about 2 to 3 hours, no doubt.
You're very easy to get a hold of. Dr. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today. Sincerely appreciate your generosity of time and expertise.
Jonathan, thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Listeners, if you enjoyed this conversation, reach out to either one of us. We would love to talk to you about commercial real estate. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, take care.
This content is for entertainment and informational purposes only. It is not financial advice, and it is not an invitation to buy or sell real estate or make any investment decisions.